went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, so the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We are at Suite 404 in Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that would be to call my cell phone directly. I will be the one answering the phone. That phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. If you don't want to talk to me by phone, certainly don't text me because my phone does not receive texts, so that would be a poor way to try to communicate with me. But if you're into a texting-type mentality, you can certainly email me. The email is docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns you have, answer your questions, do whatever it takes in order to get you back in the game of life and back on the road to health. And the man that helps me do that every week, he's in studio with me. His name is Mark Sabin. He takes a lot of time, energy, and effort to research these topics and come up with questions to help create clarity for you, the listener. We appreciate the time, energy, and effort he puts into doing the preparation for these shows so that we can produce a vital final product for you, the listener. And his name is Mark Sabin. We want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Oh, thank you, Doc. It's, once again, always a pleasure to be here with you to talk about things. And you know, now we're coming almost into spring now, and in Chinese traditional medicine, the five-element theory, spring associates with the element of wood, which kind of makes sense, you know, because in a simple way, plants are starting to grow, the grass is returning, leaves come back on the trees, the sap is running strong, sunlight's increasing. So what more beyond the obvious signs that springtime is here does the five element theory tell us about your health?
Well, many things, Mark. From a health standpoint, the energy shifts out of the water element of December through March into the wood element, and the water element has to do with your bodily fluids related to your urine and your kidneys and your bladder, okay? And then the wood element is about planning, is about new growth, is about decision-making to move the body forward. It's about the health of your liver initially, and then you know, we're going to have a time next month where we talk about how to clean that liver system out, and then we move into the gallbladder energy. So the wood element is expansive energy. It's about things growing. It's about things changing. It's about things opening up. And it's a very, very vital time. And everybody feels refreshed and renewed come springtime when the weather starts to shift. I know up north where I used to practice and still practice, you know, when you're getting snow and it's cold and it's in the 20s all day, every day, you can't wait until it gets up to 50. And you know, and people always ask me when I come up to help them, they're just like, you know, what's the weather doing down where you are? And I'm like, I really don't want to tell you because we're dealing with, you know, mid to high 70s, sometimes low 80s in the month of February and March and all. And they're just like, you have that good weather and we're still dealing with cold weather. And so when springtime comes, you know, everybody gets more energy because the energy is increasing and the energy is opening up. And when you tap into that, you can create the greatest amounts of change within your health and within your life as long as you know how to tap into that. And that's one of the main reasons why I really appreciate and use and have practiced and use the five element theory on myself for the better part of the last 40 years.
It's so interesting because, you know, you said the water element was just before the wood element. And of course, if you want to grow any kind of greenery, you need to water it. So
yes, you do.
It's kind of makes a logical sense that the outgrowth of the water would be wood. Now, this month in particular focuses on liver health, as you said, and you call the liver the grand central station of our bodies. What does that mean?
It means everything in the body must pass through the liver for consideration, and then the liver helps determine what is needed and what can be moved towards exiting of the body. It coordinates all the hormones and the assimilation of all the foods that come in through the intestines, and it's really the center. You know, living in New York and going into the city and taking a train into the city that comes into Grand Central Station, it's like, okay, if you go to Grand Central Station, you see there's a lot of things coming in and going out and people all going to with their trains or going to the subways or going to catch a cab or what have you. And it's just a very interesting place where there's a lot of stuff going on, and that's exactly what goes on inside your liver. If your liver is processing everything that comes into the body and coordinating, okay, well, where do these ingredients need to go, and are we storing them? Are we going to use them? Are we going to excrete them? Are we going to, you know, what's going to go on? That organ, the liver, is very, very important. It has to be highly efficient and highly functioning because that's where all planning in the body takes place.
Well, this is so interesting because you talked about the liver has to consider things. And I don't normally think about like an organ having consideration. So, because that sounds almost like an intellectual process. So can you go a little more in depth about how the liver determines where everything has to go? That's such an interesting concept.
Well, it's the liver is a filter, and you have six main filters in your body. You have three external filters, your lungs, mm-hmm. your large intestine, and skin, and that's what keeps things from getting into the body from the outside world. But then you also have three internal filters. You have your kidneys, which filters the liquid waste. You have your spleen, which filters the blood and recycles the blood and is a storage site for the blood. And then you have the liver, which we've been calling the Grand Central Station because that's the main filter. It is the main filter that filters everything that comes into the body. All the blood in the body passes through the liver so that the liver can filter it in a way that takes the byproducts of the digestion and takes the byproducts of the excretion from the cells back to the liver before the liver sends it out of the body, kind of thing. And it's a very, very vital part of the body, and it's important for us to make sure that it's working. And this is the time of year where the energy's highest, where you can create the largest amount of change and the largest amount of healing within that specific organ.
So if it's a filter, that would imply that there's a waste product that comes out of the liver? Is that, am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah, there's a waste product that comes out of everything because you like, for instance, when you breathe, you take oxygen in,
mm-hmm.
then it goes into the blood. The blood then gets shuttled around to where that oxygen needs to go, and then the oxygen gets off and goes into the tissue. And in the process of the passenger getting out of that particular shuttle called the blood, it now has a return passenger called carbon dioxide, which then it gets into the shuttle called the blood, and the blood then circulates throughout the body and goes to the lungs so that the lungs can excrete that carbon dioxide. And so this whole process and coordination that goes on within the body is very, very important. And the main organ that regulates all the internal processes as far as exchange of nutrition and storage of nutrition and where the nutrition needs to go and can we get rid of this, all of that's coordinated by your liver.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I mean, so what the liver is filtering is the blood. So everything that comes in through your digestion, through your breath, that absorbs into the bloodstream itself, then passes into the liver, and the liver now is going to filter that out, and then different elements are going to go different places. So there are proteins, there are fats, there are different elements that are in the blood that have to be determined where they're going to go in the body and what their process is.
Yeah, and so the liver does all the filtering. It filters the food components of the amino acids, the free fatty acids, the glucose, along with all the other additives, preservatives. It helps to coordinate and filter the hormones and any other metabolic byproducts associated with the blood circulating throughout the body. And so the filtration aspect of the liver needs to be highly efficient. It needs to be highly specific, and it needs to work the way that it's meant to work. And we do lots of things to interfere with how our liver functions. And as a result, that's why we have this conversation this particular time of year, because this is when you want to create the greatest amount of change within the health of your liver.
So what are the things that we do that are going to impact the function of our liver?
Let's see. Eat, drink, breathe, participate in our environment with the pollutants, et cetera. And so if we're not eating quality food, if we're eating the completely refined and processed foods or what I call the crap foods, if you're not breathing quality air because you live in a major metropolitan area, you've been out to San Francisco, you've been out to L.A. When the plane's coming in for a landing, what is it that the plane typically passes through before it lands?
The browns.
There's this brown smoggy haze that just mm-hmm. hangs over the city. And it's like, okay, well, in all your major metropolitan areas, you're going to find the same thing. There just happens to be a little bit of a bowl there because of the mountains that are a little bit east of, and it kind of traps things there. But in the Hudson Valley, we get the same kind of thing because we're sitting in the valley of the Hudson, and you know, we're just north of New York City, and so we see the same kind of thing go on here. And all of that gets into the body needs to be filtered, and when the body can't get rid of some of those toxins and some of those pathogens, what it does is it surrounds it in a fluid-filled capsule and then stores it off in our fat cells or our adipose cells, and that's what people end up accumulating and holding on to.
So the fat that's accumulating in your body is not the same as necessarily as the fat that you're eating.
No, not at all. It's definitely not the same. Why? Because your body's going to break that fat down into essential fatty acids, and it's going to send them to the liver, and then the liver is going to decide, you know, is this essential for us? Do we need these ingredients, or can we let them go? And if it lets them go, then your body excretes them. If it holds on to them, then it's going to use them. And so it just becomes a question. We have a thing called morbid obesity in this country because we consume entirely too many carbohydrates. We overwhelm the liver, and the liver then calls the pancreas and says, listen, we're drowning in sugar over here. I need you to get rid of it. So we stress out our pancreas, ultimately leading to diabetes. But the job is the insulin is supposed to take these carbohydrates and put them in the cell for storage. And that storage ends up being fat.
So the fat that accumulates in our body is a direct result of the carbohydrates and these, particularly the refined ones. I mean, I would expect that other carbohydrates that are natural, the carbohydrates and vegetables and things like that, aren't necessarily going to store as those kind of problematic fats?
In an ideal world, the answer would be no. They wouldn't get stored as negative problematic fats. But the challenge is that when we're eating entirely too much completely refined and processed food, when we're eating a whole bunch of empty calories that is high in calories but low in nutrition, okay, then we're going to take all of those empty calories and we're going to store them because we need them to be usable calories in order for us to use them. But if they're not usable because they're empty, okay, it doesn't change the fact that they have a caloric value to them. It doesn't change the fact that they're going to be stored for future use. The challenge is if you never put the other necessary ingredients to combine with those non-necessary ingredients so that your body can use them, then you're going to just continually build up and build up and build up, and that's what the obesity is, and that's what the unused fat stores are about.
So would the unused fat storage be an indication that your liver is not functioning correctly?
That would be one of the indications, or it would be an indication that your liver is overworked because maybe it is working correctly, but it's just it never gets a day off. It never gets a break. It's just constantly being bombarded with that, and it's taking all of that information, and it's in a non-efficient way because they're non-real ingredients. It's doing what it can to store them, but it's going to store them. It's going to surround them in a fluid-filled layer, and it's going to put it off into the adipose sites, which is why we have all the obesity that we have.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that the liver does is it produces the substance that breaks down the fats, but that has to be stored, and that's what you have a gallbladder to do. And that gallbladder works in conjunction with the liver. Is that to break down those fats and so that you can excrete them?
Yeah, your gallbladder concentrates the ingredients that the liver makes into a form what's called bile. Mm-hmm. Okay, and when you put fats and proteins into the system, the gallbladder is going to get stimulated, and it's going to release all those storage products, that concentrated products that it got from the liver, in an effort to work in conjunction with your pancreas to break your food down so that your body can use those particular components either to help it or to get rid of them because it's not going to be of help to the body.
So are those breakdowns happening in your digestive tract, or are they happening in your bloodstream?
They're happening in the digestive tract, and then they're being facilitated within the bloodstream in the liver to be combined with other components to be made into hormones and hormone precursors and prostaglandins, which are like hormones specifically at the cellular level. And, you know, any of the metabolites that the body needs in order to function properly. Mm-hmm. It's going to take the iodine and send it up to the thyroid to make thyroid hormones that support the metabolism. It's going to take, you know, the sugar ingredients, and it's going to be used either for energy for the brain and the nervous system, or it's going to be stored as non-usable fat because it's made from sugar. So it just depends on what the ingredient is and what the body has as a necessity for that particular ingredient, whether it's going to use it or whether it's going to excrete it. And the one part of the body that coordinates and controls all of that is your liver.
So creating balance in the liver then is going to be important, because if you're saying that the iodine that gets in the body is going to go directly into the thyroid where the thyroid uses that. So this is kind of what you mean when you talk about the grand central station, that now that track goes off to the thyroid. If I need it for a different gland, it's going to go to whatever that is required for that part of the body.
Right. And so the liver is what coordinates all of it, and your gallbladder is what helps to execute it. So your liver is where all the planning takes place, and the gallbladder is the one that actually pulls the trigger on making sure things happen. And so there's a vital balance between the liver and the gallbladder, which is why they're under the same element known as the wood element, which is what we're starting to talk about now that we're moving into the wood element time of year.
Right. Now, but there's so many people that have their gallbladder removed, so now, that what kind of impact does that have on the liver if you've had that kind of a surgical intervention?
Well, the liver is going to develop a new storage place for it over time. But the challenge is like when a person loses a limb, they can still get pain in that limb even though they don't have the limb. It's called phantom pain. Right. And that's because the brain still has the regulatory mechanism that controls that part of the limb. And so if that part of the brain gets stimulated, it may make you think that the part of the limb that you've had removed is now active again because it's still active in the brain. So same thing happens when you take out an organ. You can take out a person's gallbladder, but if the brain still has, and it will have, still has the gallbladder component, then the brain may be calling down to the gallbladder, and the gallbladder may never answer the call. And that creates a level of internal strife that goes on, and so now the liver has to pick up for where the gallbladder is no longer there because it's been surgically removed.
So you have to do something to support the liver to be able to deal with the fact that that you are in that condition.
Right. And so when people come to me and they've had their gallbladder removed, we spend a lot of time helping them to understand, okay, now let's talk about the impact of what this means as far as your health goes. I know your surgeon didn't discuss that with you because they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Their job is to make sure that they get you out of crisis. If you are having a gallbladder attack and let's say it's filled with stones, or let's say that it's, I don't know, your gallbladder is rotted because of various health imbalances, et cetera. Okay, there are times where, you know what, you need to have that thing removed because it's going to kill you otherwise. Good. Now that it's been removed, this is what we need to do in order to maintain balance within you. I didn't ask you to have the gallbladder removed. This is the situation that we're dealing with. This is what we're going to have to do in order to maintain health for you.
Yeah, as we were talking last week, that's your starting point.
Right.
Yeah, so that's important to know. But, you know, clearly I would think that a gallbladder problem is not going to develop overnight. So this is going to be something that's ongoing. And since it's related to the liver health, taking care of your liver over time and intervening before you have a serious problem would be the best outcome you could possibly get.
Right. I mean, the liver is responsible for letting the gallbladder know what it needs to do in order to break the fat down. And liver provides those basic materials for the gallbladder, and the gallbladder concentrates the materials to perform the breakdown of those fats. And so there's a good symbiosis that goes on between those two organs, which is why they're part of the same element, what we're calling the wood element.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're talking about fat, we're aware in our country about the obesity crisis, but fat can also be stored around organs. And so somebody could actually be fairly slender and still have a problem with accumulating fats in the body. Am I correct about that?
You are correct in that. And it, you know, it has to do with organ fat and one of these doctors on the internet is calling the deep belly fat, and what you need to do in order to get rid of the deep belly fat, et cetera. And you know, he's developed a product, and I'm sure he's going to sell a crap load of it because that's just the way people are. They're looking for immediate solutions, and the video seminar is pretty compelling, and he punches all the right buttons and touches on all the right points so that the average consumer is going to think that, you know what, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. So, yeah, I'll make an investment, and I'll buy a three-month supply because I'm getting bonus to buy a three-month supply. And, you know, there's lots of things out there that you can do to help yourself. But, yeah, deep belly fat that surrounds the organs, that's a storage site because the organ's having difficulty dealing with things. And so it needs to have a lot of reserves associated close to it. So that's why it ends up being surrounding those particular organs or glands.
Right. So you can have a fatty liver, for instance, and is that going to impact the functioning of the liver if you?
Oh, absolutely.
So now you're dealing
with
the liver.
Your liver's not as efficient because it's been infiltrated with fat, and now it doesn't function the way that it's supposed to because of the interference of that fat.
Uh-huh. Well, this is a really fascinating conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about the liver in particular and this, what's happening this time of year.
Absolutely, but please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out by asking Dr. Y. Dr. Y is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Y has traveled the globe studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Y today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. And today, Mark and I have been talking about liver health, and I'm sure you have more questions, Mark.
Well, I'm really curious about something that I've heard you say over the years, which is that your liver can be angry. What does anger have to do with an imbalance with your liver?
Well, your emotions are carried and stored in your body in different organs associated with those emotions, and anger happens to be the most prevalent emotion stored in the liver itself. Along with being irrational, frustration, and aggression, these are the main emotions associated with and stored in the liver. And so when a person experiences those emotions, it's going to create liver stress, potentially liver inflammation. And then what the liver controls is your muscles, joints, and tendons. So when the liver gets overwhelmed with anger and toxins and all of that kind of stuff, it's going to directly affect how your muscles function, and more importantly, how your joints function. And so you're going to get inflammation of your joints, which indicates that you have a liver imbalance. And so inflammation of a joint would be called what, Mark?
Arthritis.
Arthritis. And so all arthritis is too much crap in your liver and too much unresolved balance within the liver, causing you to develop inflammation not just of your liver, but of the parts that are governed by the liver, which could be your all your muscles, joints, and tendons, could be the lens of your eye, where you could ultimately have vision problems. And I'm sure we'll do a show specifically on vision not too long from now. And it's just a question of understanding, well, what effect does a toxic liver have on the body? Anybody that has arthritis has too many toxins in their liver, and they're going to need to do something to change that. The interesting thing is what is the medical solution for arthritis, Mark?
Some kind of anti-inflammatories.
Right, and it's a medication, right?
Yeah.
And where is all medication processed?
In the liver.
In the liver. So if you're putting a toxic chemical known as a medication for arthritis in your body that has to be processed by the liver in order to be metabolized and do its job, in a liver that's already malfunctioning as indicated by the arthritis itself, what do you think taking the medication is going to do?
You're making the problems worse.
Yeah, you're going to give the body more arthritis. So the solution is also contributing to the problem.
Interesting. Now, one of the things about an angry liver, I mean, it makes me think that that the people who are consuming enough alcohol to become drunk, you hear about angry drunks, and the fact that people who that's one of the emotions that can be associated with that, and we see that there are a lot of people who are dealing with an enormous amount of anger. I mean, we see this right now happening, in the society, that there's this vast amount of anger. People are spending a lot of their time being angry. We're supporting a lot of anger through the media content. And it would seem to me that all this is going to be relating to one thing exacerbating the other. So that if you're consuming a lot of alcohol, if you're drinking, a six pack of beer every night, and you're, angry and unhappy and depressed, that, this is going to be contributing to the liver malfunction, and the liver malfunction is going to be contributing to this cycle.
Right. It is a self-perpetuating cycle, and that is vitally true, Mark. People who are drinking alcohol, that's the adult form of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That has a lot to do with their sense of self and their self-esteem and their lack of control over events. And when they lack control over events, the natural emotion to come up when you're not in control of what's going on in your life, the natural emotion, the first emotion that's going to come up is anger. And so that's affecting your liver. And so you want to do something that's going to help to, suppress that anger. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say that when you drink alcohol, it kind of takes the brakes off of your inhibitions and you start to act and behave in ways that you wouldn't normally. And if you happen to be one of those people that gets angry when they drink, and we've certainly depicted that enough in our society in different films, et cetera, with child abuse or partner abuse or what have you, because Mr. So-and-so is an angry drunk or Mrs. So-and-so is an angry drunk and they just become violent, et cetera. It's like, okay, well, there's a reason for that. And when you stimulate the liver, which is what happens when you consume alcohol, and also what happens when you consume sugar. If you're taking the brakes off of your ability to govern what you're saying because it's interfering with how your brain processes things, and now you just open your mouth and you spew whatever it is that comes into your thoughts, then, yeah, you can become that angry drunk. And it's a byproduct of all the repressed emotion and the lack of control and the lack of balance within a person's life that causes that to come out and be expressed as anger.
And we know that eventually cirrhosis of the liver is one of the outcomes of alcoholism.
Right. And so when you drink too much alcohol and you make the liver work too hard and you're not putting quality ingredients in there and you're stressing out how the liver functions, then yeah, eventually over time that liver can cirrhose and basically fail. And it's a long-term chronic situation, and my heart goes out to people who are stuck in that situation or who are attached to that situation, let's say as a child whose mother or father is an angry drunk and they have to deal with that. And I would like to help those people that have that issue because I want them to understand what the issue is and why they have the issue and what they can do to get over that issue.
Mm-hmm. Another emotion that seems to be associated with some people who are drinkers is that they become tearful and regretful. And is that also related to the liver? Are those emotions related to the liver as well?
Not directly. That means that some other organs are getting involved with that. It's interesting that regret is it's a combination of different emotions that come up, and it's the regret means that you've had some epiphanies, you've had some aha moments, you've had some realizations, mm-hmm. that you created something that you're not necessarily proud of. And, that can be a tremendous burden upon somebody as well, and can lead to bad behaviors because ultimately at the end of the day, what does that stress out? It stresses out a person's sense of self or their self-esteem, whether they're a good person or not a good person. Mm-hmm. And they're going to react in a way to deal with that. And one of the ways that reacts in dealing with that is dealing with sugar. And alcohol, unfortunately, is the adult form of sugar, and so there's a close relationship there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, whatever it takes in order to make a person forget their problem or become numb to their problem, and alcohol is a really good numbing agent.
Yeah, it truly is. Now, there's a relationship also between the liver and cholesterol. Can you talk a little bit about what that relationship is?
Well, that's very, very true, as the liver is where cholesterol is manufactured and regulated. Cholesterol levels is one way to evaluate the health of the liver. It's one way to evaluate the health of what the person is consuming. You got two different types of cholesterol. You have good cholesterol, mm-hmm. which is known as the HDLs or the high density lipoproteins, and then you have the bad cholesterol, which is known as the low density lipoproteins or the LDLs. And then you have the indeterminate type of cholesterol called the VLDLs, the very low density lipoproteins, which could become high density or could become low density, huh. depending upon what the body needs. And so when a person has a high LDL content, okay, I know that they're doing some things in their life and they're thinking some things in their life and they're consuming food in their life in a way that's not balanced. And, we want to have your LDL. Ideally, in a perfect world, we want a bad cholesterol there to be an equal number with your good cholesterol. So they should be in a one-to-one ratio, but you're not going to really find anybody out there that has their cholesterol in a one-to-one ratio. But the LDL, what I have seen over the years and what really makes sense to me is the fact that your LDL is a measurement of how much damage you're creating to your body from eating the crap food.
How so?
If you eat a lot of crap food, then your body can't burn all of that fuel, okay? You can't mm-hmm. burn all the sugar that you're eating,
mm-hmm.
all the processed sugar that you're eating. Well, it's going to get converted over to a thing called triglycerides. And those triglycerides are going to get stored as fat. Now, your body produces cholesterol, this white waxy substance. It's like a joint compound. If you got a crack in your wall, okay, you're going to use this joint compound to repair the crack. Well, if you're putting a lot of crap in your body, you're going to create a lot of damage at the cellular level. And so the body produces this low-density lipoprotein as a repair product. So people who have high levels of bad cholesterol, that tells me that they're eating a high amount of refined processed crap food, and they're creating a lot of damage in their body because they're not putting real ingredients in there.
But the cholesterol that you're talking about, you're saying that it's manufactured by the body. It's not
manufactured by the liver.
It's not the cholesterol you're eating.
No, it's just manufactured by the liver in response to what damage that you're doing to the body. So you eat fat that even has cholesterol in it.
Yeah.
You're going to digest that fat down into its free fatty acid forms. That's what's going to get absorbed into the bloodstream. Then it's going to be shipped up to the liver for filtration. And the liver is going to say, well, we have a lot of damage going on down in this sector. So we're going to send all of these fat precursors, these essential fats, okay, we're going to send them down there to repair. Now, if it comes in as good food, you're going to get good quality repair products. Those are your HDLs. If it comes in as crap food, the completely refined and processed, bastardized food that is so prevalent in our society, then it's going to create bad cholesterol because it's not a true ingredient. It's a bastardized ingredient.
So will the two different types of cholesterol both try to do the repairs?
They can, but if you have an overwhelming amount of the bad cholesterol, that's what your body's using. So I use the bad cholesterol number as an indication of how much damage you're creating to your body based upon your lifestyle. And when you change the lifestyle and you change the way that they process their food and you change the ingredients that they put in as food, then you can lower their cholesterol relatively easily, not necessarily needing medication.
Interesting. Now, you understand that these measurements come because they do blood work.
Right.
So what does the blood show you beyond cholesterol for your liver health?
There's different enzymes that they can check. They can check what's known as your AST and your ALT, and those are liver enzymes. They can check your alkaline phosphatase. That's also an enzyme. They can check your bilirubin. That's something that helps to measure how the liver gallbladder system's functioning. And so there's a bunch of different chemicals within a blood chemistry that helps us to take a look at, well, what's going on with the liver, okay? For people who have chronic alcoholism, if you order a test called a GGT, if that number's high, that indicates chronic alcohol exposure, or at least some sort of abusive process going on within the body. And so you order the blood test, you look at the blood chemistry, you get a sense of what these numbers are doing. I don't look at the numbers individually. I look at the numbers in the relationship in terms of how they should be in association with other numbers. And so that helps me to understand, well, what's going on functionally, not what's going on just to maintain where the person's at.
So, and what kind of health issues might you have if you have imbalances in some of these chemistries in the body, in the bloodstream?
Well, you could have high cholesterol, you could have diabetes, you could, have arthritis. It's interesting because when a person has high blood cholesterol and they give them a statin medication to lower their blood cholesterol, the chief side effect associated with lowering their cholesterol happens to create diabetes. But the doctors don't seem to be overly concerned with that because they have a treatment for diabetes. And so it's okay if we give you this statin medication and you're going to have to come back every 6 months in order for us to do blood work to make sure that we're not destroying your liver. And we'll also monitor your blood sugars because you're going to see over time that taking this medication is going to start to drive up your blood sugar numbers. And we're going to burn out your pancreas and eventually give you diabetes. And the sad part is that it's all a byproduct of what's going on in your liver.
So if you can actually bring balance back to the liver, you could probably avoid some of these problems.
Right. Diabetes, believe it or not, Mark, is a liver problem. It's not a pancreas problem. The pancreas is the one that's trying to do the work, but it's under the control of what's going on with the liver. And so when you fix the liver and you get the liver functioning properly, you can make type 2 or adult onset diabetes, which they now call type 2 because we have children developing type 2 diabetes. You can make that type 2 diabetes go away.
Wow. So now, one of the things we talked about related to liver health was arthritis, which is joint health. So is the fact that the joints and the connective tissues of the body are beginning to become inflamed, is that the liver's effort to try to get rid of the things that are causing problems, and that's why it spreads out to the body?
Yeah, whatever is the storage site for the liver are your muscles, joints, and tendons. And so when the liver's overwhelmed and has to find these things, it's like the people in society who have these storage places for their furnitures and their stuff that doesn't fit in their house anymore.
Right.
You know, to get to my office, you have to drive by a storage site. And it's fascinating to me that human beings have so much crap in their lives that they can't fit it in their house, that they have to go buy a new storage unit just to put their stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that's the same thing that goes on in the body. When the liver is overwhelmed, it needs a storage site. So it sends all of the excess crap that it can't deal with, and it puts it in the storage site. And in the body, that means your joints, your muscles, joints, and tendons. And where the joints and tendons come together, that's where you get the inflammation, and that ends up being your arthritis.
So if you have arthritis, which is an indication of a liver issue, and you can treat the liver issue, will you find a relief to the arthritis?
Absolutely. Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Wow. And that's the funny thing. It's funny, and it's not really funny. It's sad when you think about it. But you have inflammation in your body, and the doctor gives you medication to suppress your inflammation, which has to be processed by your liver, which then overwhelms the liver over time, which leads to storing it out into their external storage sites, which is your muscles, joints, and tendons. So the medication that you're being given eventually leads to arthritis. And then what do they give you for arthritis? Well, they give you more medication. So they're giving you something that's actually going to perpetuate the problem that you already have. It's just you're not going to feel it because it blocks the pain
the sensation,
aspect of it.
Right.
But it doesn't block the damage that's going on there. And so taking that medication, you're going to continue to create more and more and more arthritis within that individual.
Now, you also mentioned that arthritis happens in the eyes, in the lens of the eye, and that so this middle-aged thing of needing glasses, is that a function of liver health?
It is a function of liver health. And what's interesting is as you get older and your liver becomes less and less functional and it's sending stuff out into the muscles, joints, and tendons, well, you have this mechanism that helps your lens expand and contract so you can see things up close versus see things far away. Mm-hmm. And when that mechanism gets interfered with, then the lens doesn't expand and contract the way that it's supposed to. So then you need glasses to help offset, to get the lens to do what it's supposed to do, but you're externally artificially regulating that by using glasses or contacts or what have you. And ultimately, what is that? That has to do with you're affecting the muscles that control the mechanism that expands and contracts your joints within the lens of the eye, the same way that you would have the joints within your body. And so, and the liver is the chief organ that regulates eye health. And so as you get older and you need corrective lenses for you to be able to see, I know that your liver has accumulated a whole bunch of toxins that you could benefit from cleaning them out. When I started cleaning, I needed glasses before I graduated high school. And that's because I personally, and I'm happy to share this, I had a very difficult repressed anger childhood because I was the youngest in the group that I hung out with, and I got picked on a lot. But it was the only group that I could hang out with because I wasn't going to hang out with kids that were 3 or 4 years younger than me because there was no point in that either. So I became pretty isolated and became internalized and learned how to figure out how to solve things because I needed to solve my own problems. And so when I was a senior in high school and a junior and a freshman in college, I was having difficulty seeing the board. And this was interestingly enough right around the same time that my dad noticed that he needed glasses. So my dad got glasses while I was away at college, but I couldn't see the board. So I went and got my own glasses, and I came home for one of my breaks and I had glasses, and my mom's like, "Where did you get those?" And I was like, "Well, I'm having trouble seeing the board." And her perspective was initially, "No, you just wanted to be like your dad." And, "No, Mom, I have a serious eye problem. I need to be able to see the board. We're spending all this money on college. I need to understand how to see the board." And so what's interesting is when I got further on in out of my education and understood all of these things about the liver and developed a detoxification program, which I'm sure we're going to talk about at some point, I cleaned my liver out.
What happened?
My eyesight is the same as it was in my 20s. And when I go to my eye doctor is perplexed over the fact that my prescription hasn't changed since I was in my 20s. And here I am in my mid-50s. Okay. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense because people's prescriptions typically get stronger as they get older.
As they get older, yeah.
And my eye doctor is perplexed over the fact that mine doesn't change, and he doesn't know why it doesn't change. And it's like, well, because now I've cleaned up my life. I don't have a lot of repressed anger. I don't put crap in my body, and I've given up sugar, and I don't have desserts and all of these things that stress the liver out.
Wow. Wow, that's a fascinating story. Well, this is a great conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the Alternative Healthcare Network.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions to ask you about liver health.
Absolutely, but please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We are at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. That is my cell phone. That is the phone that I will answer directly. So if you have a question, if you have a concern, if you're confused about something and want to get some clarity, please call me because I'm happy to talk to you on the phone. I'm happy to give you resources that you can use to help yourself. And if at that point you decide that you want to see me, I'm happy to see you. If you want to email me to answer your questions, you can email me directly. Please don't text me. My phone does not receive texts. But you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have regarding your health. And we're talking about some vital things today. We're talking about liver health and angry liver and cholesterol. And what else you want to talk about, Mark?
Well, I thought another, you know, we were talking about connective tissues in the bodies. And it would make me think that something like fibromyalgia, which I hear a lot about, a lot of people suffering with fibromyalgia, is that related to liver health?
Fibromyalgia is related to liver health, but fibromyalgia itself is actually related to a pathogen that's impacting the liver. It's the ME150 virus, the myeloencephalitis, 150 different varieties of virus that ultimately causes fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. And when you address that in the body, and we address that very well and very completely, we can make fibromyalgia go away. And so if you're somebody listening and you have fibromyalgia, please don't suffer anymore. Just call me so that I can fix it and you can get on with your life, unless you like having the condition of fibromyalgia.
It would seem to me that, you know, there's a lot of things that I've seen recently about processed salt and autoimmune diseases. And the reports talk about how the minerals that have been removed from sodium chloride take away the nutritional value of real natural salt from the that comes out of the earth. So is there a relationship between salt and the liver?
There's a relationship with everything in the liver because, like we said in the beginning part of the show, mm-hmm. everything passes through the liver for consideration. And so the liver is what helps the body to regulate these kinds of balances, but the salt balance itself is controlled more by the kidneys.
From the water and
that kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. and with the help of the adrenals and a hormone called aldosterone helps to regulate sodium and potassium balance. And so mm-hmm. when the body needs to hold on to sodium, it's going to release a thing called aldosterone, which is a hormone that's going to cause the body to conserve sodium and excrete potassium. And when the stress level has passed, then you get a thing called aldosterone escape, which helps the body excrete the excess sodium and allows the numbers to come back into balance. And, you know, when a person's stressed out, their blood pressure will go up a little bit because mm-hmm. they're holding on to more sodium. But when the stress has passed and the body's done the appropriate response to the stress being over and you excrete the excess sodium, then the blood pressure should come back down again and you should go about your business. Mm-hmm. The challenge that we have in our country is the fact that everybody's under a low-grade level of stress continuously their whole life. And so what slowly happens over time is that their blood pressure begins to slowly and gradually ratchet up. And, you know, now the medical profession, which doesn't have a solution for it, they just want to medicate it. Now they're just talking about treating it sooner and sooner, and you have pre-hypertension, so we want to get you on medication because you're headed towards hypertension. But they're not doing anything to actually address the cause. I help people understand what the mechanism is and help them get a handle on the stress in their life, and then they don't need medication and their blood pressure is normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked a lot about the functioning aspects of the liver, but I know in Chinese medicine, and this is something that gets into a more, perhaps a more esoteric aspect of it, but there's an energetic component to this. We talked about the emotions, we've talked about the function. Is there a difference between the energy and the functional aspects of the liver health?
Well, the energy is actually what promotes the function of the organ itself. And so in traditional Chinese medicine, where they have these meridian systems and the meridian specifically for your liver or the gallbladder or the kidney or the whatever, you can affect the functioning of that particular organ by stimulating the meridian points. You can also do it with stretching and with various muscle movements and motions, et cetera, like what you do with your Tai Chi, et cetera. There's so many different ways to relieve the stress within a particular organ to help the organ recover and go back into balance. And ultimately, that's what we all need to do. So there's lots of different modalities. You can use acupuncture. You can use Tai Chi. You can do liver detoxifications. You can do massage. You can do the various different types of massage. You can do the various different types of yoga and all of those things. And that will help to facilitate restoring balance to a person's system. And, you know, when people come to me and they have a particular health imbalance and they tell me that they do yoga, and I ask them, well, what kind of yoga do you do? And I say, go talk to your instructor about, do they have any poses specifically that's going to help this particular organ or gland? And they'll go do those particular poses to help that particular circumstance. And then their health issue gets greatly reduced or eliminated altogether, depending upon their willingness to continue practicing it.
So there are several different kinds of ways that you can support the health and balance of your liver. One of them that you're talking about now are these various modalities of movement and exercise, nutritional aspects, which is something that you focus on quite a bit, to bring balance back into your nutritional, into your diet. And I would think clearly some of the elimination of some of the things of excess sugar and alcohol and things like that would have an effect on balancing your liver. But not everything that is affecting people's health and health affecting their, if they're having problems with their liver or they're having problems with arthritis or any of the things that we've talked about on the show today that people have specific questions they'd like to get answers to, there's certain information that's available on your website if people want to look that way up. But you make yourself available to contact directly. So if somebody wants to ask their specific questions of you, they want to reach out to you, maybe they're not ready to set up an appointment with you, but they'd like to get some information and discuss their health concern with you, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me would be to call my cell phone directly, and we've given you that number, and we'll always give you that number. The cell phone directly is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please do not text that phone number. That phone number is specifically for talking. If you are into texting and you want to communicate with me that way, then I would ask for you to email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have. What's important for you to understand as the listener is my purpose and my passion is to help people get out of their health conditions so that they can get back into the game of life, because the more people participating in life in a happy, healthy, balanced way makes life that much better. And I'm interested in making my life the best that it can possibly be, so I want to support my brothers and sisters in my immediate environment and even in my extended environment to live the kinds of lives that they desire to live. And if you have a health condition, you don't have to make it your life. Call me, come talk to me, have an evaluation. Let's figure out what's going on with you so that we can get rid of that condition for you and you can get back to life on your terms, not on the terms of your condition. So I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come get some information, some understanding, and some education. Please tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot.
doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might. If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously you need a pill, you know how one is best. The thing is, there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I've been rushing...